In the Sugya Bika Cholim, the Gemara says on Mem Amud Aleph that it's not proper to visit Chola the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day. The first 3 hours of the day he had a good night's sleep, so he's going to look so healthy, you may not realize that you have to offer a tefillah, that he should get better. In the last 3 hours of the day he looked so haggard, he looked half dead, so he may not offer a tefillah because you think that that's not going to help. So you see from the Gemara, the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, Yerodeh quotes the Ramban on this Gemara, you see from the Gemara that if you mevaka chela and you don't offer a tefillah that it should get better, you're not yet in the mitzvah bika cholim. The mitzvah bika cholim, bizman Gemara was to heal the patient. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had so many thousands of students, apparently he took attendance every day, and he saw there was one student was absent. And he went to visit him in the dormitory, and he changed his sheets, and he changed his pajamas, and he washed the floor, and he opened the window, and he got better. So that's the mitzvah bika cholim, to help the patient get better. Bizman hazeh we have doctors and nurses, and he's in the hospital. So the doctors and the nurses are doing the bika cholim. They're helping him get better. We can just put him in a cheerful mood, so the cheerful mood may hasten his recovery. If the cholim is in a happier mood, so he'll get better faster. But the chiyuv bika cholim really is to help the cholim get better. And you have an obligation to do the maximum that you have in your power to help that he should get better. So the maximum is you have to offer a tefillah. We really don't control the situation. Kadosh Baruch Hu is roifei kol basar. So whatever we do, if we don't offer a tefillah, we haven't done the maximum that's in our power to see to it that he should get better. There's a Rambam writes in the Tshuva, in the Igeres Teman, that we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What do we control Mashiach? What can we do? So he says the way to hasten the coming. So there's one opinion in the Gemara in Havo Yevintoy, in the Sugya Piruvirivya, that that's the nature of the mitzvah of Piruvirivya. That even if Hoyol Abonim and Mesu is also yet to Piruvirivya, because Ein Badovid Bashiach will come Nesham Mashiach Baguf. The Melech HaMashiach will only come when all the Jewish neshamas will be born. There's a chamber in heaven that's called Guf, Gomol, Gimol, Vav, Pei. And when all the Jewish neshamas will be born, then Mashiach will come. So even if the baby is born and he dies, also hastens the coming of Mashiach. And that's the essence of the mitzvah of Piruv Rivya, to hasten the coming of Mashiach. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Hoyol Abonim Mesu Lokim Piruv Rivya. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So you have to, if the children had their own children, then you yotze. But if they died before they had their own children, you're not yotze. But we still hold that there is a chiyuv. That's what the Rambam writes in the Igeres Teman. We still hold like that opinion in the Gemara. There is a chiyuv to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What can we do? We don't control Mashiach. So the Rambam says we have to offer a tefillah. So every day we offer a tefillah. Stemach tovet abduch ha-meheres atzmiach. Please send Mashiach. So that's the maximum we can do. That's similar to here, that bika cholim, we have an obligation to heal the patient, and the best way to do it is to wash the clothing and air out the room and wash the floor and so on, and to offer a tefillah. If you don't offer a tefillah, you haven't done the maximum that's in your power to do to heal the cholim. They tell the story by Rav Dovid Soloveitchik that he didn't feel well. And somebody came to me, the guy was staying so long, he was a nudnik, so Rav Dovla kept on dropping one hint and another hint and another hint, tried to convince him he should leave, and he didn't pick up any of the hints. So finally he mentioned that, Rav Dovla finally mentioned, the Gemara says on the bottom of Lamed Tesem base, that Bika Cholim Ein Lo Shir, what does mean Ein Lo Shir? So Rav says, I feel it may upon him by yom, even 100 times in a day. So he said, he always wondered what's the minimum amount of time that you have to visit by the cholim in order to be yotze bika cholim. So he saw from the Gemara. The Gemara says the first 3 hours of the day you don't visit, the last 3 hours of the day you don't visit. So you only have 12 hours in a day. So 6 hours you may visit. And if you can visit 100 times in 6 hours, so 6 hours, there are 60 minutes in every hour, so 6 times 60 is 360. So if you visit 100 times in a day, so obviously it's yotze with 3.6 minutes. So you see from the Gemara, yotze with 3.5 minutes. So the fellow finally got the hint and he left. So that's a famous story from Rav Dovla Soloveitchik. Here there's an important Ran, the top line on Mem Amud Aleph. After the Chazon Ish passed away, so they published a collection of his letters, Igris Chazon Ish. After the Stipler passed away, so they published a collection of his letters, Kraina de Igarta. So they have in one of the letters, someone asked the stipler about extending life when it really doesn't make any sense. The fellow is so sick, are you always mechuyev to extend life? So he writes, when we were little children, they ingrained in our thinking that the Jewish attitude is you always extend life, no matter what. And then we got a little older, and we learned the Ran and the Dorm Daf Mem Amar Aleph, and we realized that it's quoted in Yerideya, that you don't always extend life. Sometimes you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have Rachmanis on the patient should die. You're not allowed to kill him biyadayim. We assume that euthanasia is asa, mercy killing is asa. We don't know exactly where it says it, so the Ksaba Kabbalah writes on the Pasuk in Parshas Noach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish anyone who kills someone else, Niyadi Shochiv. And the expression Ochiv usually means your beloved, implies brotherly love. So why should a person kill his brother if he loves the brother? Yes, he's killing him. It's mercy killing. The brother is suffering so much, he's killing him out of Rachmanis. So that's the mocker for this assumption that we always make, that euthanasia is also according to the halach. So euthanasia is also that, b'kum b'yaseh, to kill b'kum b'yaseh. But euthanasia b'shei v'altaseh sometimes is muta. Let's say the person is such a choyle, so the Torah says, l'samen adam yachin, not let us stand by idly and let the person die. But the Ran says sometimes, you do hasten his death. The Ran quotes the Gemara at the end of Ksubis, that Agarat is known as Hashkafta de Rebbe, the day Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died. There's a sefer called Hashkafta de Rebbe about the death of the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. One of the Lubavitcher Talmid Chachamim, who used to be the Masmich in Torah Vadas, wrote a whole sefer Hashkafta de Rebbe. He was there when the fifth Rebbe died. So he writes everything that happens. So that's the expression, Ashkafta the Rebbe, that's the name of that Agadita in Ksubas Dav Kuv Dalet. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was suffering at the end of his life. Okay, he kept on having diarrhea, he kept on going to the Beis HaKis, he had to take off his tefillin, put out his tefillin, take off the tefillin, because he used to wear tefillin all day long. And Amsa the Bei Rebbe, the maid in Rebbe's home, had Rachmanis on Rebbe. So the Gemara says that she told that Rebbe would have died from the sickness that he had, but the blacksmith kept on banging and making noise. So she sent a message. The Talmidim came. They wanted to daven that he should live on. So she said they should not daven that he should live on. They should daven he should die. And then she said they should send a message to the blacksmith. He should stop making noise, because the noise kept on perking up Rebbe. He kept on living on. So once they stopped the noise, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died. So you see from the Gemara that you're allowed to hasten the death of the person. You're not allowed to kill him, b'kum b'yaseh, that's mercy killing. But you take away the noise, that's what Moshe Feinstein writes, and it's true, is nobody dies because it's quiet. He didn't die because it was quiet. He died because of the sickness that he had. The noise extended his life. So we took away the thing that's extending his life artificially, namely the blacksmith banging, making noise, and then Meila Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died from the sickness that he had. So that's permissible. That's permissible. Years ago, many had the attitude that let's say a person is on a life support system, and someone's going to pull a plug. So when you pull a plug, so the oxygen is no longer going to be going into his system, so he's going to die. So since you didn't choke the person to death, he just pulled the plug from the wall. He did something shmichutz legufo, so that's muta, like telling the blacksmith to stop making noise. So Moshe Feinstein said that it's ein edoyma. He writes in his tshuvas, it's ein edoyma. When you pull the plug, the person dies because of lack of oxygen. So that's killing biyadayma. Let's say you're feeding him intravenous, and you take away the intravenous, then he dies because of lack of nutrition. So then you killed him biyadayma. You can't say, no, you didn't touch the chayla, you did something extraneous. No, he did extraneous, and that caused him to die. But when you tell a blacksmith to stop making noise, that's what Moshe writes, people don't die because it's quiet. They die because they have a sickness. So the noise is some artificial dovah chitzayin that's extending his life. So you take away this artificial extension, and then he dies from the condition that he has. So the din of l'samen adam riecho only applies, you're not always obligated. That's what you see from the Ran. The Ran quotes it from the Gemara, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This Ran is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You see from the Gemara in the end of Ksubas, you don't always say that it's a mitzvah to extend life. Whenever it's unreasonable, So you don't extend life. Who decides when it's reasonable or unreasonable? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. So he says, let's say it's the patient is suffering so much. If you would take a poll of 1,000 people, 999 would say, let me die in peace already. And this one person is for action. He wants to live on. So Moshe says, you're not allowed to extend his life. It's an avera to extend his life. What's the avera to extend his life? He says, avera is like chovel b'chavero. Because he's going to live longer, he's going to be suffering longer. So you're not allowed to cause him to suffer longer. Since if you won't intervene, if you won't give him any medication, he'll die ready and he won't suffer longer. So that's what you're supposed to do. Act b'shev al-tasa, don't give him any medication. And if it's the reverse, let's say if you take a poll, 990, take a poll of 1,000 people, 999 out of 1,000 people will say, let me live on, and this person is for action, he wants to die. So then you're not allowed to listen to him. The Chayla is making an unreasonable choice. This is a Magen Avraham. In Hilchos Shabbos, I think either Shin Chav Tes or Shin Chav Ches, one of those two simon, he quotes a tshuva from the Radvaz, that if a let's say a person is 20 years old and he has gangrene in his legs, and the doctors want to amputate the leg in order that he should live on. He says, no, and they say, we've done it hundreds of times, and we know everything is under control, and you live on to the age of 120, you have a normal life. Why should you die at the age of 20? You could live another 100 years. And the patient says, no, he'd rather die than have an artificial leg. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz, that's absolutely unreasonable. So you're not allowed to listen to the patient. The patient is making a choice that's ridiculous. We say, Botla died to Eitzel Das called Ben Yodim. Ramoshe quotes a Loshen from the Gemara in the end of Yuma, Tunavu who did knock it. He's out of his mind. He's saying something. He has like a choyl on Yom Kippur, supposed to eat or not supposed to eat, whatever. So Gemara says sometimes he makes a choice that's so unreasonable. Tunavu de nokit lay, he has fever and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But whenever you have a situation, it's not 999 out of 1,000 people would say. 5-10% of the population would say, let me die in peace already. Or 5-10% of this population would say, let me live on. So whenever the choyla is making a choice that's reasonable, so although a person is not a balabos to take his own life, he's not allowed to commit suicide, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, achazdim chal nafshesech medrash, you're not allowed to commit suicide, but a person is a balabos to say whether you're doing him a favor by extending his life or not. Just something similar, but not really identical, but similar, that the person is a balabos to make a little bit of a decision, is there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara learns that from the Haftorah of Parshas Metzora, from Sefer Melachim, Abba Mitzvram Hayu Yoshvim Pesach Shar Shamron, that the Medrash says that it was Gechazi Yishlosh Hizbonov. So these were the four Mitzorim. They weren't the greatest Talmid HaChamim and Klal Yisrael. They were punished with Tzaras, because Gechazi made a Chil Hashem, that when Elisha Novi healed the Tzaras of Naaman, Tzartzvah Melech Aram, so Naaman wanted to, out of Hakar Satov, he wanted to enrich him, he wanted to give money, so Elisha Novi said he doesn't want to accept any gifts. So Gechazi was the Shamas, he was the Gabbai of Elisha Novi. So after Naaman left, so Gechazi chased after him, and he said, my master, Elisha, changed his mind and he'll accept the gift and give me the money and I'll give it to him. So he gave him the money and he pocketed the money himself. So he made a Chilul Hashem. So when Elisha found out about it, so he cursed Gechazi and he said, that Tzaras Naaman tidbak b'cho ubibonecho. So these are the Abba Mitzurayim HaYoshim Pesach Shar Shomron. Shomron was in Ir HaMukav Chayma. Ir HaMukav Chayma wasn't Mukav Chayma, it was Yeshua ben Nun. So the Malbim says they were noyeg, they had a minig, that they treated it as if it were a mukav chamos u'shubanon. So they didn't allow, Mitzor is not allowed to enter ayoras ha-mukav chamos u'shubanon. So that was a minig, they treated Shomron as if Ir Shomron was built later, way after the days of Yeshua ben Nun, but they treated it as if it was a mukav chamos u'shubanon. So the Mitzorim didn't enter. So then they ran out of food, and the whole Shomron was under siege from the enemy, and they didn't know what to do. They're going to die from starvation, from malnutrition in the next couple of days. They don't have too much longer to live. So they figured they may as well surrender to the enemy. They may kill us on the spot, and we won't even live out the 3 days that we have left, 3-4 days, whatever, a week or so that we have left. They may hold us prisoners of war, and we'll live longer than the 3-4 days that we have to survive. So then they took a white flag and they went to surrender to the enemy. And then it turned out the enemy had already skedaddled. The enemy ran away and they left all the food and all the clothing and all the money. So they were grabbing, up all the stuff. Then they realized they have to tell the people in the city. The whole city was under siege. No one had any food. So the whole story continues in Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim. So the Gemara says, you see from this parsha, you see from this Haftarah Adin, that comes up very often. The doctors recommend a procedure for a chayla, and they tell the chayla, this may extend your life significantly, but it may also hasten your death. You may die on the operating table. So a person who's not allowed to commit suicide, is he allowed to choose to have such a surgery, such a procedure done, knowing in advance that it may hasten his death? So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that yes, he has a right to choose. So the Shaila, who are we learning out from? These four people did a Gedoli Hador, they're Talmid Chacham. They were punished with Tzaras Namon because Gehazi made a Chilul Hashem. So why do we learn out from them? So in the yeshivas, they say the pshat is we're just learning from Tanakh that that's a reasonable choice and that it's up to the Chayla to choose. That we know, that's the din. The Chayla is not a balabas to take his life, but he's a balabas to decide whether he thinks you're doing him a favor to extend it by extending his life or not. So that it's up to the chayla that they knew mitzarasvar. They only needed the pasuk from Tanakh to say that this is a reasonable choice. Haraya, the Tanakh records it, then it worked out. They chose to surrender to the enemy, to take that procedure that may hasten their death. They only have chayishua to live, and there's a chance of living chayolam. Chaim Moshe assumes chayishua means less than a year, and chayolam means more than a year. Nobody lives forever. You can't say it's chayolam. So the Gemara uses those as shyness. What does it mean, chayishua, chayolam? Rabbi Chaim Moshe said, that's what it means. There are those who disagree. Rabbi Moshe, I think, also assumes like Rabbi Chaim Moshe. Chayishua means less than 12 months, and chayolam means to extend his life for more than 12 months. So that's up to the chayla. So let's say you have two people who have exactly the same situation, the same age, and the same sickness, and the same chances. One of them is a big Talmid Chacham, one is a balabas. The Talmid Chacham makes one choice, and the balabas wants to make the opposite choice. He can't say, how can you go against the Talmid Chacham? It's not a shayla of psak halacha over here. The din is, it's up to the chayla to make this decision. Does he think it's worth it, running the risk or not? It's up to each chayla. The pashta says, it's either up to the chayla to make the decision. There's a tshuva in the Malamed Lahoyel. There was a four-year-old girl, whose life was b'sakana. So the shayla was, and the doctors had a procedure that they could do, but it was a risky procedure. So the procedure makes them have death, and it may extend the life for more than Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Malamed Lahoyel holds, no, it's only up to the chayla to make the decision. And since the baby is only 4 years old, she can't make an intelligent decision. So the parents have no right to make the decision. So the Pashto says that the Gemara is against the Malamed Lahoyel. The Gemara says in the 40 years when they were traveling in the Midbar, the other Shvatim didn't perform Bris Milah because the weather conditions were such that it was a little dangerous to perform a Bris Milah. And Shevet Levi had more bitachon and they did perform Bris Milah. So why didn't, there was an Orthodox rabbi there, Moshe Rabbeinu. So why didn't they consult the rabbi? What did the rabbi have to say about this? They're being mevatel mitzvah and they're fulfilling the mitzvah. So he should have told the Levim, they're not allowed to perform Bris Milah. You're putting your children into Safek Sakana. So you see that number one, the Safek Sakana was very far-fetched. The Gemara said the weather conditions were such that it was a very far-fetched chashash Safek Sakana. So it's up to each chayla to decide whether he wants to run the risk or not. The chayla is an 8-year-old baby. He doesn't understand what you're talking about. So you see that the parents make the decision. Whoever is in charge, whoever is responsible of taking care of the good health of the child, so he has to make that decision. So you see, Pashtus is not like the Malamed Lahoyel. If the chayla is not in a position to make the decision, whoever is his healthcare proxy, whoever is achrayi for his good health, has to make the decision. So it's similar to this case over here. It's not the same. Here we're talking, for sure he's going to die. Here we're saying the patient says it doesn't pay, I already suffered enough, I don't want to live on. So that's where Rabbi Yankev Emden has a sefer on the tour in Beis Yosef that's called Morik Tzia. Mishneh Berurah quotes it every so often. So on this Magen Avraham in Shin Chav Tes, I think it is, where the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz, that they want to amputate the leg, and he's only 20 years old, and they've done it so many times, hundreds of times, and everything is under control. So the Radva says, we do the surgery against his wishes because his choice is absolutely unreasonable. So Rabbi Yaakov Emin says, that's only if it's something like that, amputating the leg and you put on a plastic leg. We know the whole procedure. We know how it's going to work out. So many people have undergone that surgery. But if it's something that's very iffy, we're not sure what the outcome is going to be. There are going to be side effects, and some people are more unhappy about the side effects than their happiness about extending their life longer. So then it's up to the chayla to make the decision. So most of the cases today, like Rabbi Yanki Fender writes in the Mark, it's up to the chayla to decide. Each chayla has to decide. So it's not the same as the other case, where it's a risky procedure. He may die right away, or he may extend his life more than you. Here for sure he's going to die. But it's a little similar in that we have to honor the request of the chayla whenever the request is a reasonable request. If it's absolutely unreasonable, then you ignore. So that's this run. That's what the stipler writes. When we were young children, they ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position is that you always extend life. And when we got a little older, we started to learn Gemara, the Ran on Daf Mem, and we started to learn Yeridaya, and the Ramah quotes the Ran. So you see, it's not always the case. A lot of times, he doesn't give a tshuva l'alach, it just says it's not always the way we were taught. On the top of Mem on the base is a famous Gemara, Avua de Shmuel. Shmuel's father was also an Amora. Ovad Lohon Mikvois Lebanta, he had daughters who had to use the mikveh. So he made mikvois b'yom nisan u'mafteh b'yom tishrei. So mafteh b'yom tishrei is a different Rashi and Tosfos. And Chorus have the two pshot. The mafteh means because there was mud, and the mud will get stuck in between their toes, and it's going to be a chatzitza and a tvila. Or mafteh means mechitzas, because the people will be watching them when they're toivel in the mikveh, and then they'll be embarrassed because they're undressed. So then they're going to go quickly, and they may not do a good job of being teufel. So the two pshatim, what it means mafti, because of chatzitza, mishum tzniyas, that they should be teufel slowly. What does it mean, ovid luhu mikvois, lebanse b'yoy menisim? What did he make mikvois about? So Rashi there in Bechoris, Nunheim and Beis, Rashi quotes a pshat. Then on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, they refer you to the Rashi in the other Masechtas, that Rashi doesn't like that pshat. So one pshat Rashi gives is that the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida says that Nashi Didam, this man is that we treat all the women as a Toa, as if the Mishnais talk about the Mishnais in Erech and the Mishnais in Nida, the same Mishnah appears, talks about a woman who lost track. She doesn't remember whether she's a Nida or a Zava or a Yoledes. She has amnesia. She doesn't remember where she's holding. In the middle of Shibinikim, he make Tumi, he make Tara, she doesn't remember what's going on. So the Mishnah says how many days she has to wait without any dam, that she should be able to go to mikveh and she should be able to start back her cycle. So the Mishnah says, then the Gemara has B'nai Sisach Meirah Latzman, a chumer that we treat all the women as if they're a Sufik Nida, Sufik Zava. The Gemara says, Hiskin Rebbe Basodas. That's the Gemara says, Rebbe made a takana. Basodas, where the people are the balabatim, are poshut the balabatim, they don't know the halachas. They made a takana that if a woman has a riyaz dam 3 days in a row, then you have to treat her as a suffix nida, suffix zava, so she needs shivinikim. And then the minik developed, the Gemara says that's a minik, hechad nog nog, hechad lo nog lo nog, that's only a minik. Today it's nog all over, but in the days of the Gemara it wasn't universally accepted, the minik. So the minig is that even roya tipas dam kecharel, one tipas dam, you really treat it as a suffix zava. How can she be a zava gedoyl if she only has one day aria? So the Rishonim explain. So you treat every woman as a suffix nida, suffix zava. So the Rashi writes there in Bechoris Daf Nun Hamid Beis that just like the Torah says that a zav needs tvila mayim chayim, the Chumash says ach mayim abor mikveh mayim yihi a tohor. The two ways, if a person is tameh, he has to go to mikveh to become tohor. So the two ways to be mitar yourself, either you tovel in a mikveh, you tovel in a mayon. The mikveh is rainwater that comes down from the sky, either rainwater or hapshara shlogim. The Ran over here keeps on using that expression, the melted snow. So that's only mitar the eshbarin. If you have a shever, a crack in the ground, and the mikveh means kovah b'kaimi, the water is stagnant and standing still. That's what a mikveh means, and it's the same as saying that you need a shburin, shever, a crack in the ground. And a mayon is where the water comes from under the ground sources. that's a big question. What do you mean under the ground? So where does the water come from under the ground? The Tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. The Gemara in Masechus Tainus in the first parak says, there's so much water in the world, the water evaporates and it comes back and evaporates. It's the same water, goes up and goes down. So all the water comes from this guy. So how is there ever May Mayonis? So the Ramban HaChumash talks about that, and the Mishkan Es Yankev has a major tshuva about that. How far does the water, had the water falls down from the sky and the snow goes down into the ocean, then it melts, then it goes under the ground for a distance, and then it comes back up and shoots up in a spring, in a mayon. So how long does it have to, how much of a distance does it have to go under the ground before it shoots up that you should declare that it has the din of a mayon, and it doesn't have the din of a megishomim that you need to abgesh bor? So that's a serious question, because we know there's a water cycle. All the water comes from the sky. It's not a new source of water from under the ground. So that's a serious discussion. So the Chumash says that a Zav has to count Shivinikim, and then when he wants to become Tohar, he cannot be Toivel in a mikveh of Megishomim, that's Beshbarin, has to Davke be Toivel in Maim Chaim. Maim Chaim means a Mayon, has to Davke be Toivel in Maim. What about a Zavo? That doesn't say, never says in the Chumash that you need Maim Chaim. So Rashi and Bechoris Nunham and Beis learns that that's what Abu Adishmol took care of for his daughters, that he made mikvahs b'yoymei nisin, he made mayones for them. He saw to it that they'd be able to be tovel in a mayon, even though it says ablohon mikvahs, a mikvah is the opposite from a mayon. So the Rashi interprets he had to make mayones because the nashi didan, the women bizmanazeh, after takonis rebbe basodas, and after benoitzeh lechmiru al atzmon, so every woman has a din like a suffix nida, suffix zava, and a zava has the same din as a zav, that you need maim chaim. So on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, they write, look in the other Rashi's, there is stiris in Rashi's. Rashi around four or five places in Shas quotes this chumer from the Gaonim. The Gaonim came up with this einfal, that a zava needs maim chaim just like a zav. And Rashi in another four or five places writes that it's against the Tosefta. You have in the first parak in Megillah, you have a series of Mishnais, Ein Bein, he used to recite the Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh, so in order not to forget all the dinim of the Torah Shebal Peh, so he used to string together a lot of dinim to remember them. So they said, Ein Bein this, le that, the dinim that are the same, dinim that are the different, so the Tosefta has more Ein Bein, so the Tosefta has Ein Bein Zav Lezova, Elisha Ha Zavton, Maim Chaim Azova, Ein Etuna Maim Chaim. So it says, Beferish Azova does not mean Maim Chaim. The Ramban HaChumash at the end of Parshas Metzora also quotes the Goyim say that you need Maim Chaim for a Zava, and it's wrong because it's against the Tosefta. The Tosefta is beferish that you don't need Maim Chaim. In Yerideya, in the tour in Yerideya, I think it's in the Bach, so some of the Achrayim say that even if you hold that you do need Maim Chaim for a Zava, that's if you want a Zava to become Tohira, she shouldn't have Tuma Zava. But if you wanted to become Muteris Labayla, they would also agree that a mikveh would be good enough. A split between Tvila for the purpose of removing a Nida and a Zava have two din. One din, she's an Avatumah, and another din, she's Asura Labayla. And we don't always say that they go hand in hand. Rabbi Chana Rasman has a whole essay in the Kovetz Ha'aris, in Sefer Yevamos, where he shows from different Rishonim that sometimes the woman is a nida le taris, and she's not a nida le baila. Sometimes in the verse, she's a nida le baila, not a nida le taris. It's not always totally zebeze. Just as a mashal, the kuzari has the melech hakuzarim had this dream that he has religious kabanos chavitzui abba masecha, and he's worshiping the wrong religion, a false religion of avodah zarah. So he said he's going to meet with representative of the Christian religion, representative of Islam. He's not going to meet with the representative of the Jewish people, of the Jewish religion, because Judaism is so looked down upon, so frowned upon. So that's not Boba Cheshbon. But then when he met the Muslim representative and the Christian representative, so they said everything is based on the Jewish religion. So he said he wants to meet a rabbi. So he met the Chaver. And the Chaver, it's a historical novel, but it's true. The whole book is a novel, but we know it's true. They have, after communism collapsed, they had articles in the New York Times that for years the historians in Russia wanted to publish what they discovered about the Khuzarim. There were periods of time that the Jews were controlling big chunk of Russia, and the communists didn't want anybody to know about that. So after communism collapsed, then they started publishing all the information that they had, that the story about the Khuzarim was true. And the rabbis in Cordova used to send shluchim to the Khuzarim to teach them Torah and so on. So part of the story, the Khuzari is a historical novel, but part of it is a chunk of Russian history, Jewish history. So in the middle of the conversation, the way Rabbi Yehuda Halevi imagines it in the novel, so he writes that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the Chover, asks the rabbi, you people are Orthodox and you say that you're observing everything that it says in the Torah, how come you don't go to mikveh? A man is a balkari, a man is a zav, how come no one's going to mikveh? So he said, no, tumah is a tied to the with kedusha. So if you want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you want to eat truma, you want to eat kachim, you want to be makar karbonis, you want to eat karbonis, then tumah is a steer with kedusha. We live so far from Eretz Yisrael, so far from Beis HaMikdash, we don't have truma, we don't have kachim, so tumah is irrelevant for us. So that's why we don't go to the mikveh. So then he says, so how come you insist that your wives have to go to mikveh? So the chover says, no, it has nothing to do with tumah v'tar. Nida labayla is a different din, not at all related to tumah v'tar. So that's famous from the Khuzari. Rabbi Zevin has an essay about HaKuzari b'halacha. So this is one of the things that he points out in the Sefer Lo HaHalacha, that the Khuzari has this chiddush that the Isa Nida Labayla is not totally in the fact that the Nida is an avatum. When they told Rabbi Soloveitchik that Rabbi Zevin has this essay, so he thought that it was a joke. So he said, what do you need the Khuzari for? It's an offer in a Taisus and Bava Kama and Daf Yad Aleph and Aleph. Where the Gemara says that a woman has a suffix whether she's a Yoledes or not. If she's a Yoledes, she's Tameya for 7 days or 14 days, depending whether it's a boy or a girl. So if she has one suffix, you go to Chumra. If you have a sex fake, you go to Kula. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? The din is if it's, it depends, suffix, it's Tumah V'Tara. So Tumah V'Tara, if it's, even if it's a sex fake, if it's Bishus HaYochid, it's Tomei, and if it's Bishu Sarabim, it's Tohar, even if it's one Sofik. So where do you have the difference between one Sofik and a Svek Sveka? Bishu Sarabim is always Tohar, Bishu Sarabim is always Tomei. So Tosfos answers, that's when you're talking about Lataris. So he was talking Labailo. That Labailo is not totally at all. Lataris, it depends Bishu Sayachad versus Bishu Sarabim, and Labailo depends whether it's one Sofik or two Svek Sarabim. So Lechik said, that's what the Khuzari said. It's the Tosfos and Bava Kama. The Rishonim gave a different answer on the Kashmir, but that's what Tosfos answers. There's also Rabbi Chana Rasme quotes, he quotes many Marmekaymas on this. He quotes also a Rosh. The Rosh is Yodua Rabbi Chana, and neither Perek Dalet Zimin Aleph, where the Ravid speaks about Poleta Shech Lazeres, Soseres, so he thinks it's only Soseres Litumas Nida, Litumas Zobah, but it's not so Poletas is not going to be Soser Labailo. And he proves it from the Gemara. So you see, the woman can be a Zava Mideraisa with respect to Tumah V'Tara. She's not a Zava Legabi Baila. There are many other Nafkaminis as well. So that's what some of that, I think the Bach, some of the Achronim on the page in the tour in the Yeridea, they say, even if you follow that Shitas HaGainim, they write about the Rif, that the Rif wrote the best Sefer since the Chasimah HaTalmud, and everything the Rif writes much better than all the Gainim put together. Because the Gaonim had all kinds of funny opinions all the time, that a lot of them we just don't follow at all. This is one of them, that they said that a Zava needs Mein Chaim. It's against the Tosefta. So in Yeriday, they try to soften it a little bit. So they say the Gaonim only meant Benegir Litaris, a Zava needs. But Labaila, they'll agree, the Gaonim will agree, that a Zava can be Tovel and a Mikveh as well. Anyway, there are differences between a mikveh and a mayan. One difference is the mayan is only matar davke b'zechila. If it's flowing, if it's standing still, it's not called the mayan. The zav needs mayim chayim, so he has to be tovel in a mayan while it's flowing. In a mikveh, if the source of the water is the rain or the melting snow that comes from the sky, so then it has to be davke b'ashbaran. It's not going to be mitaher b'zechila. And then the Ran quotes from the Mishnah, this long Ran quotes from the Mishnah is that there's a major difference between a mikveh and a mayon, that a mikveh needs memsor, and a mayon does not need memsor. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. What is that referring to? You mean a man is, a person is tamei, a person is tovel in a mayon, so he doesn't need memsor? So the Torah Sabayis quotes, that was a shitas haravid, that a mayon for tefilas adam doesn't require memsor. and the Torah Sabbais, the Rashba says it's against the Beferish and Medrash. There's a pasuk in Novi that speaks about Mehashila Haholchim Laat. In Laat, Lamad Aleph Tes is a gematria of Arboim, 40. So the Medrash comments the Mehashilach, if you have Memso, then it's Metahir. The Mehashilach was a Mayan. It was a Mayan. The Gemara says they did Nisach HaMayim on Sukkahs. They took Mayim for the Mehashilach. Mishnah says, and it's based on the Shabta Mayim Misosin, Mimayne HaYeshua has to come from a Mayan, not from a Mikveh. So you see that Shilach was a Mayan Mehashilach, and you needed Memso. So he holds that Medrash contradicts the writer. The Tosfos in Nozer also writes about this. They quote Lamed Ches. the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis says that min haTorah, if you have a revius mayim on the ground, you can be tovel machtem mitzinorius. Let's say if you have a needle that became tamei, a tiny little kli. If an Adam is tamei, he wants to be tovel in a mikveh, so you need memsah min haTorah. The Mishnah says if a person was tovel in a mikveh, sofik yesh ba memsah, sofik yesh ba memsah, he's tamei because a sofik deraisa luchumet. Memsah is a din deraisa. Even though the Gemara uses a lashon, Rochet says kol besor ba mayim shel kol gufo el behem shi'aru chachamim. The chachamim established that you need memsah. So the Rishonim says shi'aru chachamim doesn't mean that it's midrabbanan. Shi'aru chachamim means that that's the halacha on Moshe Mitzrayim. Shiurim chatzitz mechitz on halacha on Moshe Mitzrayim. So the need for memsah is there, I say, and that's why the Mishnah says toval sofeg yesh ba memsah, sofeg ein ba memsah. You go to chumra because memsah is a din there, I say. So the need for memsah is that it should be mayim should call gufa oil abahem evasachas. But if you have a machat became tamei, or a little kli became tamei, so you don't need memsah. You can be toivel it in a body of water on the ground that only has a revius of water. That's the Gemara in Psachim Adaf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And Tosfos there quotes the Gemara in Nazir. The Gemara in Nazir lists off all the dinim that depend on revius. How much wine does a nozer have to drink in order to get malka? So it's a machlekes hatanaim. Should he eat a kazayis of wine or a revius of wine? And you need a revius for kiddush and avdolah, bekaisis and so on. A revius daman amesis, metame. All the Gemara collects all the dinim. Then the Gemara says, why didn't they mention a revius for the mikveh? Like the Gemara Psachim Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the end of the first perek in Psachim, it's all about tuma v'tara. So the Gemara says because mid rabbanan they are mevatel adin, they are mevatel adin betlu rabbanan. We don't allow you anymore to be matpil tiny kalim in a mikveh of revius. So that's what the Rishonim say. That's the Mishnah draws a contrast. They only were mevatel that a revius mayim is not acceptable for kalim. Min haTorah was good for tefilas tiny kli a machat. Mid rabbanan you need a full memsah. But if you toivel the kli in a mayon, then you don't need memsah. They never made the chumer by a mayon. But for tefilos adam, you need mayon shekol gufo behem the vasachas by a mayon as well. One of the talmidim of the Rabbi Natam, I think it's Rabbi Meshulam, was giving a shiur. He lived in a different city after he learned by the Rabbi Natam. So someone told the Rabbi Natam, Aloshen Hora, that his talmid Rabbi Meshulam came up with the chiddush nifla. That in a mayon you can be toivel a limb at a time. You don't have to have mayim shekol gufo el behem vasachas. Why? Because that din is learned out from the pasuk Baruch Hu. It says called the sora ba mayim shekol gufo el behem vasachas. You have to be toivel the whole body submerged under the water at one time. So that lotion only appears by mikveh, by mayon, and never by the zav who needs the mayim chayim. A mayon never says called gufo, called the sora. So Rabbi Natam got all upset and he sent a letter. Well, you're crazy, it's against halacha. So he sent him back a letter. He said it pshuto shal mikra. He didn't say it halacha l'maisa. So Rabbi Natam sent him back a letter. You're not allowed to say it's pshuto shal mikra. Wrong. Pshuto shal mikra. It's keneged adin. But so some of the Rishonim held such a wild notion that true, you need mayim shel kol gufo el b'hem avach sachas by mayan also, but you don't have this halacha l'maisa mitzvah. It always has to be memso. If Adam can fit into less than a memsah, a midget can be toivel less than memsah, so it would also be good. That's the Rashban, the Torah Sabbais quotes the Rabban holds like that, and he says the Medrash says not so. Me'ashelah holchem liat liat is bigematria mem, so you need memsah by a mayan as well. They quote an Einfall in the name of an Eluisha Einfall in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitch in the Chiddush Rab Chaim al Hashas. Let's say, do you say the two different mikvahs? There's a mikvah of Revius, water that's good for Tfilos Kelim, and there's a mikvah Memso that's good for Tfilos Adam. Or do you say, no, basically a mikvah of Revius is good enough, but by Adam, you need Maim Shekol Gufa, it's a din in the Maisa HaTfilah. You need Maim Shekol Gufa, Elo Behem Basachas, even if he's a midget and he can fit into less, the Halacha considers it as if it wasn't Maim Shekol Gufa, Elo Behem Basachas, Maim Afkemina. So let's say you have a mikvah of Maim Shuvim, and you have to makshir it with Hashokah. So I have a mikvah of Memso, Maim Shuvim, and I make a Hashokah to a mikvah of a Revius. So there's a possibility to say that this Memso will only be good for Tfilas Kelim. It won't be good for Tfilas Adam. Because for Tfilas Adam, it's a different heftza of a mikveh. There are two kinds of mikveh. There's a mikveh of Revius that's only good for Tfilas Kelim, that are Tomei. For Tfilas Kelim that you buy from a Nochri, that mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim, nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. So that the Bali Atesu show in the Gemara, the last stop in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the very end of Avodah Zarah, that you need. That you always need memsoa min haTorah by tefillas kelim by the mitzvah. If you have a kli, if you have a needle that's tummy, you want to be metired. So that's good enough min haTorah with the revius and mid the rabban. You need memsoa. But if you bought spoons and forks from a nochri, you want to fulfill the mitzvah tefillas kelim before you use it to eat with it. So for that, Tosfos says you always need memsoa. That's a different din of tefillas kelim. That's not to remove the tumah v'tahara. So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim that there's such a possibility. If you do a hashoka, mem soa maim shuv, and do a hashoka to a revius, so do you say a revius is a kosher mikveh just for the maisa tvila? Adam needs mem soa, that it should be maim shekol gufa el b'hem v'asachar. But the mikveh of a revius is good enough, so that mem soa now is good for tvila sodom. Or should I say, no, pidin, two different mikvahs. A mikveh of revius is good for kelim, and a mikveh of mem soa is good for Adam. So if you do a hashoka, memsoa maim shuvim, do a hashoka of a revius, the memsoa will only be good for tefillas kelim and won't be good for tefillas adam. And ein fam. So they quote the Rav Chaim raised that issue. What's the pshat that you need memsoa by adam and by kelim you don't? Okay, mikvos is an important topic. Got to go through a famous rhyme here. It's quoted here every day.
The Ramban shows how long the water has to go under the ground for?
I don't know. The Mishkan
is
what time?
How do we know where the Mishkan is?
Okay. I sent it to you. Is it?